The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Morning.
You're right.
You know what it is?
It's Tuesday.
Do you know what else it is?
I'll give you Business Bunker Show.
Give you a clue.
It's the year of the tiger. That's a leopard skin coat.
I know, it's all I had. I rummaged in the wardrobe.
But so I got a year of the tiger from a leopard skin coat. Right, okay. Do you know what? It's what? More than a year of the tiger.
Is it?
Yes, a year of the water tiger.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not just any tiger.
It's a water tiger.
A water tiger.
Is absolutely.
It like a water chestnut, I suppose.
No, it's nothing like a water chestnut. It's okay. It's more clawy and vicious.
Is it a tiger what swims?
No, it's got nothing to do with a tiger.
Oh, well, why is it called a water tiger?
Well, because in Chinese astrology, there's not just the zodiacal signs, which are animals, so it's the year of the tiger.
You're starting to sound a bit like Piglet now in Winnie the Pooh.
There's also elements, so fire, wind,
fierce creatures, said Piglet.
You're not listening, are you?
No wonder
you never learn anything. You never listen to me, do you?
No, well, because you just reminded me of Piglet, because he's always going, are they fierce?
Right. Well, now do you know why it's a water tiger?
No, it's something.
Because you didn't listen, did
something
you?
Something about zodiac.
Yeah, in the Chinese zodiac, this year is the year of the tiger.
Yeah.
But as well as having the 12 animals that represent the zodiac,
animals.
they also have elements.
Oh.
Fire, wind, earth, and water.
Do you know they were a great band, weren't they?
Yes.
Loved their songs.
You can't do anything with her, can you? So it's the water tiger.
The water tiger, what doesn't swim?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll catch up with that later on because I was just had Piglet in my head. Sorry, I watched a really, really quite disturbing film. What was it called? The Tourist. And I know you won't have watched it because you don't watch it, but maybe Amanda has. And the final episode was very gripping. What's his name? What's that actor? He was in 50 Shades of Grey, which I haven't seen yet.
Right.
I need to pick up some tips, don't I? I need to watch that, really. New husband and all that.
I'm not saying anything.
Anyway, the Irish actor that was in that, very handsome. I can't remember his name. Can't remember anybody's name, not even my own these days. But I blame the AstraZeneca, actually. I think it's made me very foggy. But he was amazing. And the final episode was just so awful. And I only like happy endings. I had to go to bed and ask my Alexa to play me Winnie the Pooh, of which I've got on Audible. And you were sort of cloning Piglet.
Hold on.
It's the nicest story.
What Winnie the Pooh? You mean a story?
The story Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Yeah. Milne.
Right, so you and Christopher Robin.
Yeah. And Piglet and Kanga.
Graham and I are just looking at each other and shaking our heads.
It is. Yeah. I tell you, my new husband, who's a hotshot, as you know,
yeah.
I mean, he works for United Nations and, you know, he's a hotshot. We listen at night. It's our bedtime story. We listen. It's very sweet. It's just a lovely way to end the day. And
we went from 50 Shades of Grey to Winnie the Pooh.
I highly recommend it.
Right.
It's, you know, with all that violence that's around us and all the aggro, it's a bit like classical music, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, I've started listening to quite a lot of classical music just to zen out a bit from all the hideous stuff that's been happening. And Winnie the Pooh does that as well.
Yeah.
You know. So I highly recommend it to all our listeners. And I know that Tracy is listening in. And she will probably agree with me that we need to just calm and zen out and stop watching all the violent stuff. Because we watched...
I mean, Tigger's not... it's the year of the tiger, and Tigger, he's not exactly calm, is he?
He's not yet in there. I've got Kanga and Roo. Now, Roo, we must go home. Just one more jump, dear, then we really must go home.
You got Eeyore?
We got Eeyore. Yeah.
Right, okay.
In fact, Eeyore is sort of a family joke, because whenever the kids were a bit depressed, we used to say, you're a bit evil, aren't you, darling? Year of the tiger, year of the water tiger, apparently. So lovely. And what does it mean? It must be quite a strong year, I would think.
I did look it up the other day.
Because you're really into...
Because
you are a Pyrex, aren't you?
I'm Pyrex, so I was a test tube baby.
Yeah.
But
I'm a Gemini. What are you, Graham?
A Leo.
See, two Leos.
But I'm also Year of the Dog. Under
are
the Chinese,
you? Okay.
Which apparently is about loyalty, and sort of that kind of thing.
Like yeah. dogs yeah. are, yeah. unless they're greyhounds, yeah. they're not yeah. particularly loyal.
Apparently also stubborn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you should be a Taurus then, because they're very stubborn. My new husband's a Taurus. He's terribly stubborn yeah, and yeah. clumsy.
And you're Gemini, two-faced.
Fabulous Gemini. Can't go wrong with a Gemini. I was going to ask you another important question, yeah. Paul Andrews. Mm. Who might our sponsor be this week?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Yeah. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with the Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterden and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch.
Stand clear of the doors, please.
STDCC, the Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce, exists to promote the sustainable economic development of the area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. If you'd like to find out more about the Chamber, and I'm sure you would because it's a fantastic chamber, it's tentertonchamber.org is their website. And a huge thank you to them.
And I must say, listener, remember if you're tweeting in to use the BBunker hashtag, we'd love to hear your business news and what you're doing. We want to look hear about your top tips and any other advice for other newbie businesses that might be following in your footsteps.
I've had a tweet, and it's a rather a long one, from a Mr. Rantbottom, who must be a relative of yours. But in actual fact, they say it's Chris and Jenny from Motastic and Mopower in Harrietsham.
Oh, is that the lawnmowers?
Yeah. And they say, we've got some amazing news. We were nominated for 5 UK industry awards and we came second in one category.
Only 5? What's the matter yep. with you?
So in 7 years, we've come from a crazy idea to a business that's challenging one of the biggest companies in the business. We would like to say thank you to all the team for their hard work and the hours they put in. So huge congratulations to the lovely folks, Chris, Jenny and team at Motastic and Mopower. And I do need you to DM me your phone number, because I need to buy a lawnmower.
Oh, okay. Well, I bet they're very anti-plastic grass, like I am, as all these new builds are putting plastic grass in it. That gets my goat, that does.
Don't even mention new builds to me.
Oh, have they started? Over your fence?
Yeah, they have.
And is it noisy?
That's not the problem.
Well, let's talk about that off air, because you are yes. beginning to sound a bit Eeyore-ish now.
Yeah, no.
Graham Baker, photographer, and just want to introduce that guest because
Because you will.
Well, he just chatted then and nobody knows who he is. I just yeah. said Graham. So Graham Baker, he's a photographer. You can find him on grahambakerphotography.com and he is a Leo, as he just said. And he's going to talk to us later on in the show, once we've done a little bit of tweeting and stuff, about visual content and photography for websites, which you can use for marketing.
We're also going to be joined when she gets here by Linda Cloak, but she is currently stuck in traffic.
Well, there was a lot of freight on the road again today.
A lot of what?
Freight.
Freight.
Yes, that's the way I say it. A lot of freight, and I was stuck behind most of it, which is why I was a bit late. But it was good I was late, because then I met Graham in the
reception.
Yeah,
and you brought him up. Yeah,
I brought him up.
Absolutely.
Nicely.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can choose whether you read a tweet or an email, or both.
Yeah, well, we've had a little tweet from Emma Tuffy. She is on the Twitter at Emma_Tuffy, T-U-F-F-E-Y. You can find her on Health and Wellbeing Coach. She also does NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Energy Healing, Magic of Menopause, that'd be good for you, Paul.
Yep.
And Midlife, Women's Health, Love Cycling, she says. And she's based in Rochester. You can find her on functionalwellbeing.uk. It's always a trick, isn't it, when it's just .uk? It trips you up, doesn't it?
Oh, the one is my Fruitworks one, which is fruitworks.co, just yeah. CO. And the amount of people go, I emailed you. And you didn't reply. You go, well, what did you put? Well, you left the M off it. Oh, no, I didn't.
yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So Tracy Ferguson, I knew she would get it. This is so lovely. She loves my new husband at our bedtime evening story. There are some.
Well, that's all right then.
There are some great quotes for a happier life too from Winnie the Pooh. One of them is, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh. And it's so true. I mean, I listen to the stories over and over again. It sort of puts me together at the end of the evening, especially when you have a wild rescue greyhound.
I've met Tigger in real life.
I saw a picture of you in Fairyland or wherever you were.
Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah. Disneyland.
I've met Tigger in real life.
And he was bigger than you.
He's ever so big.
Yeah.
And I'm 6 foot two.
Yeah. He was big. And he hugged you, didn't he?
He hugged me, he did.
Yeah, gave you a little...
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, was he real?
Of course he was real. What's the matter with
just
you?
Just checking.
What sort of a question is that?
I know, ridiculous. Yeah.
Hey, Paul Andrews.
What?
Guess who's listening in?
Go on.
It's a voice from the past.
Oh, go on.
Someone that could be in my wardrobe at any minute.
Oh, not Billy.
Billy Dean.
Billy Dean, you finally escaped, mate. She's let you out of the wardrobe.
Well, he says, as promised to Jules, I'm listening in. Sorry it's been such a long time, he says. Sitting here updating our room system.
Your what?
Room system. RMM. Room.
Room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keeping our customers safe. So do you know what
I think he's misspelled CRM, if I'm really honest.
Oh, really? I thought it was something geeky.
Well, it is something geeky, but it's not room. I think it's CRM rather than a room.
I've got a job for him.
So oh, no, Billy, don't fall for it.
It's quite safe. It's around my mum's and she makes cakes.
No, Billy, don't fall for it. It's Ruth is Jules's mum. She's worse. Her wardrobe's smaller.
This is a very old story for Business Bunker listeners, Graham.
Okay.
And as you were once a policeman, you'll probably know, but he's very handsome, you see.
He's Billy.
So Paul and I have been doing this show for 114 years. And whenever Billy came round, he was very handsome. So I used to sort of trap him in the wardrobe and keep him for a couple of weeks. I try and get him around on a Friday before a bank holiday, you know, that sort of thing, just to cheer up the house, you know. But my mum, guess what happened? So during lockdown, she's 91 and she's amazing, and we gave her an iPhone so she could keep in touch and get pictures, because she had some old phone that didn't do anything that worked perfectly. So we've given her an old iPhone, and it's a plus, so it's nice and big. Got her on WhatsApp. Oh, I don't know how to work this, she said. But she does now. She works it really well. And she sends emojis and all sorts. And she can just about do photos and send them. And suddenly she said to me, WhatsApp keeps telling her, she's getting this message, I don't know if it's from WhatsApp or Apple, saying you've only got 5 days left to do something. And I couldn't go round. I was busy. And so eventually when I went round, she's been locked out of WhatsApp. And I went round and my new husband went round. We put in her passwords that I set up years ago. It took me ages to get her on WhatsApp. And she's locked out. It won't let us do the password. So I've put that over to William Dean.
That's because she's been hacked.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And somebody's changed your password.
Oh. Because I did get, do you remember I had that spat of people saying to me on WhatsApp, hi, Mum, this is my new phone.
Exactly.
And I had a few of those. Luckily, I didn't fall for it.
The lockout is one of them.
Oh, okay. She won't have noticed.
It's like you get them all the time. Yahoo, you get Yahoo ones that go, if you don't do this, if you don't click here, we're going to surrender your account. I got one yesterday that said...
I bet Billy's jumping up and down now because you've told him the answer. He'll nip round to my mum now and have cake.
Exactly. I got a phone call yesterday and it was an automatic. And this woman's gone, this is your bank. And I've gone, which one? And she's gone... Your bank. You're going to have to do better than that, love. And she's gone, but it's your bank. If you don't go onto our website right now, we're going to transfer £60,000. And I went, good luck.
Yeah. Did you try and sell her something?
Yeah.
That's what
did
I
did. You want to buy a double glazing?
Yeah. Or a lawnmower.
Yeah.
So, nice to have old Billy Dean back. I'm just going to read out his website. If you're looking for some computer support, IT support, Apple or Android or whatever it is, you can go to soscomputer.co.uk, the little team there. And I get on very well with Chris, who's lovely as well. He often helps me. And Billy phoned me this morning at 8:30 to sort me out, but I said I'm far too busy.
To sort out what? Your WhatsApp thing?
My mum's thing, yeah. But he'll have to go around to my mum's, you know, with me or something.
I'm not sure how you get out of that, to be honest.
I know. Well, Gavin, the new husband, tried to set up a new password and it still wouldn't do it.
No, because you would need the old one, but you don't know what it is anymore because someone's changed it.
Oh, okay. It's that bad?
Mm.
Oh. So can you just start up a new WhatsApp then?
Well, no, because WhatsApp's predicated on your phone number, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So why would they do that? What can they possibly do with that?
Send you lots of messages that go, hello, Jules, it's your mum. Oh. Can you come and send me £50?
Oh, God. So that is very, very difficult. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have
it's,
to...
You know, I mean, I...
This is why we have Billy, of course.
Yeah, no, my mum's 93 and you know, she rings... she makes me die, actually. I sat her down and I said... Because she gets literally hundreds a week of phone calls, of, you know, trying...
Spam.
Yeah, well, this is BT, can you do this? This is Microsoft, can you do that? And she goes, oh, I don't know what I've done wrong. I mean, Mum, you haven't done anything. You don't even own a computer. Yeah. Yeah. And I said, it's all spam. So now I was running the other day. The phone rings. She picks it up. She goes, clear off.
To you.
No, whoever it was. You're a spammer. And I went, what was that? I don't know.
It was probably your sister.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Barbara Rogers, and she said, I'd love a shout-out, please, using the BBunker hashtag very diligently. It's the first day of a new brochure. They've got new products and new offers. It's my Avon store. And Barbara, you can find her on Shop with My Rep, I believe. There's a little thing here saying I-representatives.co.uk to join her team. So thanks, Barbara, for that.
Oh, you can follow her on social media.
No, yes, you can, of course. What was that? I've come off that now. I'm looking at what Billy's saying. So Billy is saying to you, room does mean something. So RMM, Paul Andrews, have another guess.
I don't know. Oh, sorry, I thought you said RM. What is it?
RMM.
RMM.
Have a guess.
Remote management.
Very good. Got your first word. So it's remote monitoring and management, allowing me to look after customers from within Jules's wardrobe.
Right.
and Jules has Wi-Fi 6. That's my new update you did, I think.
Blimey.
Yeah, is that good?
Who knows?
It's probably why I've got tinnitus.
We probably need to get Billy or Lisa Settle even on the show soon. I started getting letters from BT. Have you got them
What's
yet?
Billy and Lisa got to do with each other?
I'm just about to tell you if you listen.
Right. I'll let you have a word in.
Oh, thank you.
Sure show after all.
Yeah, I've been getting letters just recently.
Paul
from
Graham's wondering what he's come into. Look, he's wondering.
Yeah, so have I, to be honest.
He's wondering when to make a run now.
Yeah, yeah. I might come with you, Graham, to be honest.
No worries, Paul.
She's been a nightmare today.
I'll have a squirt of this. You know what?
Goodness sake.
Having a little squirt of my, it's
water.
An air sanitizer. Dew is the company, D-E-W. Carry on.
I've forgotten what I was saying.
It's something about...
That was weeks ago now.
Lisa and Billy Dean in the wardrobe.
Yes, I've been getting letters just recently. I've had two from BT telling me about the fact that telephones are being switched off in 3 years' time.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, because we're going to what's called SIP, which is basically voice over IP. Yeah. And
called SIP.
Yeah,
thought that was some sort of savings account. That
well,
I do.
Yeah, they,
my work.
Well, you know, they.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got SIP.
Anyway, you don't need to know it's called SIP. It's just voice over IP.
Okay.
It just means that the landlines are being done away with, and all telephones will work on the internet. Okay, and it's saying you don't need to do anything. And I'm going, yes, I do. Yes, I do, because, one, I don't have a voice over IP phone, and my existing phone can't work that way because there's nowhere to plug it into my router. So, yes, I do have to spend money doing what you do, but it's not for a few years. But
oh, they'll probably do a U-turn. There's a lot of U-turns going
well,
on.
Well, no, what will happen, it'll be like the great switch-off of FM in 2012. They'll just keep kicking it into the long grass because the problem that BT and Openreach will have, of course, once you put all the traffic onto their god-awful network, their network's going to be even worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll get to the point where they've missed all their targets and will have to extend it for a couple of years before they can
but
transfer
everyone. Have
you noticed
there's rather a lot of U-turns happening at the moment?
There's loads of U-turns.
I'm raising
because
my eyebrows at him, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I can guess.
The old NHS?
Yeah. I'm not talking about that anymore.
No, we mustn't.
You know, the fact is... Is that,
he's going to talk about it now, though.
No, the fact...
I can lead him on. It's very easy to lead on.
No. I'm just going to say, the fact is there are too many people out there that think politicians are the solution or governments are the solution to their problem, and they're not. They're the cause. Yeah, government and politicians are the cause of all our problems and never, ever the solution.
Yeah.
Don't vote. That's the best thing.
Have you ever been to a party? have you ever been to a party, Graham, that you didn't know was existing or was on? You didn't know it was a party?
well, you generally know it's at a party exactly. when you get invited to it, when yeah. you turn up.
And cheese and biscuits, bit
cheese
of wine,
and biscuits, the
cake.
Old pineapple and cheese as well.
Back yeah.
This, yeah, yeah, but yeah. the problem, yeah.
whether it's in your garden or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but the problem you've got with this, you see, this is the problem where people get dragged into this without thinking about the ramifications.
I love that word ramifications, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you hear that on a show?
The yellow-haired baboon wasn't the only one at that party, was he?
No. Yeah?
There was 100 civil servants. So unless you're going to sack them all, what are you going
to
do?
They'll have yeah. to get fined. Where I lived in Whitstable, on the seafront, there were our local police who weren't very happy doing it, but they were actually talking to people that were in the sea in lockdown, on their own, swimming on their own. They were sort of chatting to them nicely, and we were being moved off benches and things.
Yeah.
But I talked to my local Bobby, and he said it's not a law. You know, he was very sweet.
No, well, again, it's like a lot of things. I don't know if you remember, early in the lockdown, there was
an
old couple took their dog for a walk in the Peak District.
Yeah, oh, yes, I saw
that. And they had
that.
A photograph. They were miles from anywhere, just the two of them.
Yeah.
And a cop turned up and issued them with a fixed penalty notice for being out there. I don't know if you saw, I mean, that was, what, 18 months ago?
Yeah, yeah.
There was the thing came out the other day, and it was fairly hidden, but they were paid compensation.
Were they?
Yeah, the Derbyshire Police or whoever it was said, sorry, the officer was out of order, it was completely wrong, and they were paid compensation for
well,
it.
Well, we could have another show on that with certain guests that we have in the studio would tell us all about that, because it was really difficult. And, you know, looking back, we shouldn't look back, we should think more Winnie the Pooh, but looking back, you know, we all got a bit frightened. And I went to a cafe on Monday for a business meeting at 9:30. Very nice. You saw my shakshukri-type breakfast. Mm. And we went early. I met my guest. He came from London. And I picked him up at the station. We had a really nice breakfast and it was empty. And then suddenly it got really crowded and it wasn't big. And the guy behind the counter was coughing and sneezing all the time, like all the time. And I watched him sneeze into his hand and then he just sort of rubbed them together. And then he sort of, once he sneezed and wiped it on a white cloth that was just lounging on the side. And so with my guest, every time this guy brought our cups over and stuff for coffee and things, I was sanitising this man.
Do you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think one of the most effective things they did was the thing about washing your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because nothing to do with COVID. You should, you know, if you're going to do anything, you should wash your hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And therefore, I thought in the early days, I thought the wash your hand thing
that made sense.
For 30 seconds made a huge amount of sense because not just for COVID, but for anything. Yeah.
But I don't think this chap behind the cafe had heard that.
Yeah, but the
because if you sneeze, you need to wash your hands.
But the problem has become that it was a nudge unit that figured all this out. I don't know if you saw Steve Baker in the House of Parliament yesterday reading the Riot Act to Boris and the front bench about this nudge unit. They've created so much fear, which was the idea, that now everyone's paranoid.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right. If you're going to touch something or somebody or prepare food, you need to wash your hands on a regular basis. And I thought that was a brilliant message very early on in this whole pandemic, which is wash your hands for 30 seconds. Because you suddenly noticed anywhere you went, any restroom you went, everybody was queuing to wash their hands. And you'd never noticed that before, which meant that people weren't washing their hands before.
It takes ages, 20 seconds, doesn't it, Graham? Yeah. You realise how long that is.
Well,
actually
it's
quite a long time.
It's probably, what, a second short of 21. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It takes exactly 20 seconds, actually.
It just shows that probably a lot of us were not doing it for long enough because I get quite bored.
Do you know what I do? I mean, whether 20 seconds, I don't think it's how long it takes you to wash your hands. I think it's that you do it thoroughly and you wash them with some soap or some sanitizer or something. Mm. Yeah.
Well, sanitizer is, I'm sure lots of ladies who listen. To Business Bunker, it stripped my hands. I'm not wearing any rings, if you notice, because the eczema I was getting where I'm sanitising. So I've got my own lovely ladies sanitizer now, which is all essential oils. And then I've got the lovely Dew, which whenever you annoy me, I can just squirt you now with my Dew.
I'll tell you what, air sanitizer. You know, I just said about people becoming paranoid with this nudge unit.
Yeah.
I present Jewel Sirkin to you. She's in here with a mask, a tube of stuff she keeps foofing at me. Yeah. She's got a thing behind Graham on a chair over there that's pumping out something else.
Is it working, Graham?
Yeah, it's got a light on it. And it's
There's a light coming on.
But I can't see anything puffing out.
It's puffing stuff. It's puffing.
I'm not sure. It's very good. Well, I go for to a clinic for cranial for my AstraZeneca damage, and she told me, and she said, if you're working in a small studio, Jules, with no windows, you need this. So I ordered
some. And how much did she do you for?
No, she lent me some. She lent me the first lot, and then I've actually bought it.
How much?
It's 99.995% effective at killing bacteria, viruses, fungi, and spores. Have you got any spores?
How much?
I can't remember. About £9 for a load.
£9.
No, but I've got some cleaning stuff with it and some hand sanitizers. But I like it because it's natural.
I saw you coming. Yeah.
Hey, if it makes you feel good, it makes you feel better. Then
do you know what?
By all means, go for it.
Exactly. And when Paul's talking about how the public have been scared, I've said this before on the show. On the seafront where I live, I see little old ladies and some gentlemen, but mostly ladies, walking along the seafront on their own in the fresh air, not crowded, it's winter, in masks. Mm. And that makes me really, really sad. Does it you?
It does. I had a massive row on Twitter with some idiot the other day about...
another one?
No, there was a doctor. He's one of these politicians that's also a GP.
Yeah.
And he posted a picture of himself in a completely empty train carriage.
With a mask on.
Saying, I care about other people. And I just went, there's no one else there, mate. And somebody came along and went, how do you know? Because I can see the picture. And he annoyed me, so I do what I normally do. I researched. I thought, well, I wonder what train he was on and where he was going. And by looking at his timeline, he actually scored a massive own goal, because a little bit further down his timeline was where he had gone on the train, which was a public fundraising event for a charity, at which there were 200 people, and him and nobody else was wearing a mask.
There you go.
Yeah, interesting. Sorry, Billy Dean was just texting me. I got distracted by his beauty.
What's up? What's up? What's up? No. Anyway, listen, shut up.
Are we going to play a song?
Yeah, we are, and we should have played it 15 minutes ago.
But you help keep, if you leave you me, keep if going you leave on. Me astray, Paul Andrews.
You keep going on. We didn't even explain this to Graham. We have an item in the show, Graham, called Cheesy Tunage, in which I pick a piece of music that is relevant to our first guest,
okay,
who is you.
Yeah.
So this piece of music is for you, but it's not that cheesy, really. It's fairly obvious.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jules can normally name the tune, so we'll see.
Sounds like an acoustic.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't think I know it. Hang on. It's a long introduction.
Loving can hurt.
Oh, it's the red-headed guy, isn't it? Ed Sheeran. Yeah. I don't actually know this song.
Guess what it's called?
Camera?
Photograph.
Oh, I love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw him on the Hogmanay with, Thingy Bobby. Yeah. Great. Redhead. I love a ginger.
You know it can get hard sometimes. It is the only thing that makes us feel alive. We keep this love in a photograph. We made these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts are never broken, and time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home. Loving can heal. Loving can mend your soul. And it's the only thing that I know.
swear it will get easier. Remember that with every piece of you. And it's the only thing we take with us when we die. Keep this love in a photograph. We made these memories for ourselves. Where our eyes are never closing, hearts were never broken, time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me close until our eyes meet. On 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone, wait for me to come home.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And welcome back. Photographed by Ed Sheeran, or as Jules calls him, the ginger one.
Yeah, he was great on Hogmanay. It's not really called Hogmanay, but Jules Holland.
With Jules Holland.
Yeah, we watched it. We had a wild New Year's Eve party, me and the new husband.
I haven't watched that since Andy Stewart stopped doing it.
Yeah, with his kilt.
Yeah.
Jules Holland is class, you know, he's brilliant. And the whole show was great. I've actually recorded some because we couldn't stay awake. But Ed Sheeran was on and he was great. I need to listen to more of him because I didn't really know about him, and he's just a phenomenon, isn't he? But I've listened to him. In the beginning, I thought it was Justin Timberlake or someone, because some of his stuff is quite boy bandy, but the lyrics are exquisite. So I'm going to get more into a little ginger.
Have you ever followed James Blunt on Twitter?
Not on the street and not on Twitter, no.
You need to. Follow James Blunt on Twitter. It is one of the funniest Twitter handles ever. Yeah, he just comes out with real stuff. People slag him off and then he answers them. Anyway, he put out a big thing a couple of days ago that said, if Spotify don't ban Joe Rogan from Spotify immediately. I'm going to upload more of my tracks.
Oh, no. So he's got a sense of humour.
Oh, it's I tell you, follow it. Follow Joe. He's brilliant. It is so funny, his Twitter handle.
I will.
Anyway, look, enough of that. I want to talk to somebody sensible for a change.
I really do.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Graham Baker. Graham, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been
so it's fun. Not really, but you just have to say that.
It's been so much fun watching you two. It's been really good.
It's the tap dancing that did it, of course.
Yeah.
Off air.
Graham, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Graham is with Graham Baker Photography. Why don't we kick off, Graham, by you telling the listener a bit about you, a bit about your background, a bit about how you got into what you're doing, and then we'll talk about photography from there.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, thanks, Paul. I'm a business and brand photographer. So I have photographed many different things over the years, weddings and families and babies and all the things that you can think of. But over the last few years, I sort of niched it right down and I just concentrate and specialise in business and branding.
Right.
I've been working with photography. It's been running since 2010 now.
Right.
And I never wanted to get into business. I was 15 years in the Met Police. I was enjoying that. And back in 2009, though, my life was turned upside down. Our second child, we lost in childbirth.
Oh, that must have
been
awful.
It was. And, you know, it kind of changed my priorities in life. It's sort of everything kind of gets turned on its head. And one of the constants that sort of helped me through that period was photography. Right. I was always the one. You know, back in the day, we didn't have phones. We had the
cameras.
We had point and shoot cameras. And I was always the one down the pub with the camera and taking the pictures and all of that kind of stuff. And I think just that kind of enjoyment carried it through.
Can I ask you a question there?
Sure.
Are you a camera geek?
Do you know what? I am, but not quite as bad as people make it out to be. I get into sort of heated conversations with other photographers and videographers, and we get a little bit of, shall we say, kit envy.
So what are you on, a Canon, a Nikon?
I'm a Canon shooter.
I'm a Canon girl. Yeah. I love a Canon.
But I don't get into the arguments over whether Nikon's this or Sony's
the size
this.
Of your lens?
No, I don't. It's more about, for me, it's about the creative opportunity, what you can do with the camera, not necessarily alone. What the camera actually is. Yeah.
Graham, I interrupted you with a rather frivolous question there, so do
that's
carry on
right.
with the story.
Yeah, so anyway, I think sort of going through that period in my life where I just sort of had this kind of reset in priorities, I just sort of found myself organically getting involved more and more into photography, and then we got involved in a charity that deals with stillbirth, and we met another couple that lost their child. She was a photographer.
What's the name of the charity?
Sands Charity.
Sands. I thought I'd heard of it. Sands. Yeah.
And we met this other couple, and we became friends. And she happened to be a wedding photographer, and said, "Oh, I understand you're into photography. Would you like to come and help me on a couple of weddings?" So I said, "Sure." And it kind of organically grew from there. I just loved it. I loved that whole experience.
Because wedding photography is notoriously difficult because it's a long, long day, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You're there in the morning and all the setup, and then you're right for the when everybody's drunk at the end, collapse in a heap.
Because Jules has her wedding photographer on a season ticket.
He's such a cat.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Only because, you know,
because he's been married hundreds of times.
I can't help being popular, Graham. You know, this is a thing. Some people,
it's the nature of the beast.
I have to fight them off. I can't help it.
Of course.
Yeah. They come and do a wedding and they'll say, "See you in a couple of years then, Jules."
But it is notorious. Is that your thing that you like doing, wedding?
I used to. I mean, I still shoot a few weddings a year, but I think over the last, especially the last few years,
been as many, I suppose, in lockdown.
It wasn't so much that sort of steered me towards the business, but I just was fascinated with other businesses, small businesses. I like the story and understanding how they got to where they got to.
So biopics, you like?
Yeah, I like all of that stuff. And I think it's a case of there's so many general photographers out that shoot everything, and I just wanted to specialise. And I found that business and branding and sort of helping other small businesses and, you know, SME kind of style things was something I was really passionate about.
I love niches. I do love niches, and I'm
can't squeeze in them anymore.
Yeah. And I'm a niche person. And a few years ago, I came across a photographer that only photographed commercial buildings.
Yeah, there are.
And I went, right, and what do you do for a living? And he went, no, I do that. And it's a big market for him, from all kinds of points of view. But that's the only thing he ever photographed was commercial buildings or building sites and things like that.
Yeah, it's a very specialised niche, actually, because they have to have certain types of lenses. There's a thing called a tilt shift lens.
See, I knew he'd get geeky about it. I knew he would.
He couldn't wait.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about... what it is you do and why you do it now. So you kind of flirted with a bit of wedding photography and you still do a little bit now and again.
Yeah, I think it's, as I said, probably a few years ago, I was still in the police and I was running the business part time. But
you could have been a police photographer.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the direction that I wanted to go in.
Not quite as scenic.
And I had a bit of a meltdown period in my life where I kind of didn't deal with some of the bereavement stuff from years ago, from 2009. Mm. And it sort of came back to bite me in the backside a little bit. And I kind of lost my way a little bit, lost all sense of purpose. And then I got involved with another charity called the Strong Men Charity, which... Strong Men Charity. It was set up by two contestants from the TV series SAS Who Dares Wins. Right. And it's specifically for men sort of who haven't dealt with bereavement or they're dealing with sort of like traumatic experiences due to bereavement. And I kind of got involved with that charity and it was like the second reset going off. And from that point, my decision was, right, life's too short. I've got to sort myself out. So the decision came about that I was going to leave the police and do this full time and also specialise in doing the business stuff, because that's what I was enjoying the most of at the time. Right.
Going back to the police, when you deal with lots of really horrendous episodes through your normal daily life, how much support do police get with that sort of horrific stuff?
It's a very good question. And all I'd say is that I don't want to give the police a disservice because they do the best that they can, but there are still cracks in the system and unfortunately people do slip through. Mm. There's great support in terms of, sort of counselling and all of those kinds of services are available. But from my experience, and this is just a personal experience, I'm not saying that it's all bad, some of it felt quite lip-servy. It was very much a case of, we can rubber stamp to say that we've got
ticked that box. Yeah.
Right, you're back to work now, it's okay. And then there's gaps in the knowledge between, whoever your management was, like the inspectors, chief inspectors. It was luck of the draw because some of them were on board, some weren't, and some didn't understand it. And I'm not blaming them at all. In fact, where it was difficult for me personally was actually helped me actually make that final decision because there was certain officers that didn't really understand what my situation, what I was going through. That's fine. That I wasn't blaming them, but it helped me make the push to actually say, I've had enough.
So it was a life-changing experience.
Very
really.
Much so, yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult. All those kind of things are difficult, aren't they? Because they can also be abused. Yeah, I mean by that, as a more trivial example, at the moment we've got COVID testing, which I know, loads of kids that have worked out that a lateral flow test will go positive if you dip it in orange juice. And to get, 7 days off school, all you dip, people can abuse it. They can, you can imagine someone in the workplace that says, oh, I'm traumatised, I can't work. And go on long-term sick leave.
I mean, I don't want to comment. I mean, I've got a lot of my friends are still serving police officers, and I've got a huge amount of respect for the organisation. Yeah. I just there are times when people slip through the crack.
Of course there are.
In any industry.
Yeah.
And especially radio.
Well, luckily, most people don't have to work with you.
So your passion is photography for business, for biopics. And would you do office stuff as well? Or?
Yeah, I think the main drive is I like to work with, sort of the entrepreneur, the solopreneur, whatever you want to call it. Mm. But the small to medium-sized businesses, I think for me, when you align your purpose to your work, that's what it was for me. It was this very much a case of, I see all these great businesses out there, but nobody's seeing them, nobody's hearing them, and they need a voice too. And I say it on my website, it's like getting you out from behind your business to in front of your brand. Let's see what you can do and show your audience how good you are at what you do, so they can see you and then come and buy from you. I think that's kind of what I enjoy.
It's interesting though, Graham, isn't it? Because you made reference to this yourself early on, that we've all got a camera with us all the time now, you know, in our smartphone. And a lot of the time we take selfies and we take pictures of this and that and t'other. And the technology in phones, for what they are, is pretty good. I mean, I've seen commercially successful films that were filmed entirely on an iPhone. Yeah. But of course, that leads people into, and I want to get your views on this when I eventually get the question out, which is, you know, that leads people into going, well, no, I don't need a professional photographer. I could do it myself. Look, there, I'm done. But the reality is that we live in a visual world these days because we take so many photographs, because everything's got photographs with it. Having a professional portfolio of photographs, I think, is more important than ever. And I'd just like your views on that, really.
Yeah, it's the technology in these phones are amazing. I mean, if I go on holiday, you can forget me taking my cameras. I take my phone and I take my pictures on that. And I don't mind selfies. I don't mind that people doing that. The DIY stuff is great. But it's about consistency. You can take a good picture on your phone, but can you do that day in, day out? If you're working and you want to show people what you're doing and how you're serving your audience, you've got to have another hand, or how are you going to do it? Are you going to have to get someone in to do it? Are they going to be consistent? Is it going to be consistently high quality? Is it going to be on board with your brand? Is it the right messaging?
I just need to quickly tell you this because it's funny. Yesterday I was at my mum's, right, at 93. She's got an Android phone. I hate Android phones. I've got an iPhone, right?
Ooh.
And the phone kept coming up with, you've run out of this, you haven't got that. And I was trying to delete things. She doesn't use any of the apps that are on there. And my partner, Amanda, has an Android phone. So I rang her and I've gone, how do you delete the apps off of this? It's really easy on an iPhone. She said, well, what are you doing? And I said, she said, look, put your camera on and film what you're doing on my mum's phone. So I'm trying to do that. She's gone, now press the button. I've gone, what with? I haven't got any hands left.
Need to be an octopus. So I think also when you go into a business, you've probably boned up on what they do, and you're seeing a different side to perhaps what they think they look like. So trying to step out of the square of how they think they should look.
Well, it's going back to what a brand is. Your brand is how you're perceived by your audience. It's what your values are and how it's seen. So if you're bringing in someone who's an outsider, I can see that. I can see what your messaging is. We can understand that. And I think that's the difference. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't use your phone, don't do DIY photos. Sure. It's about getting the right balance between it. It's about showing the authenticity of what you do.
Well, let's kind of move that on and talk about some of what you actually photograph and what its purpose is. Because I'm assuming, and you're going to put me right, that, you know, I own a web development agency, for instance, okay? And in the early days, customers would come to us and they'd go, right, we want a website that does this, that, and the other. And you go, fair enough, da-da-da-da. What do you want on it? Oh, I want some pictures, okay? Send us some pictures. They send you pictures and you go, do you own those? I go, no, I just copied it off the internet. Hold on a minute. You can't do that. So, you know, there's that. So from my point of view, from a web development point of view, we need kosher pictures. Ones that we own and are of things that we want them taken off. So is that part of the business that you're in? You know, do you do that?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I've worked with a number of web agencies and web developers in the past, and quite often exactly that scenario comes up. Let's say that we've got a brand new business, we've got a brand new website, and let's just say that their images aren't up to par. So they would then get me involved and say, look, you know, come and take the pictures. Can you sort us out? I work closely with the web developers so that I give them what they need. So if they need, we need banner shots. So we need to make sure we get shots that fit that, you know, the right sort of size of the crops and things like that.
Yeah, because that's another thing when you're trying to, I mean, I just, you know, like a lot of people, I just mess about doing bits and pieces. And it drives me bonkers when you've got a good photograph or something and then it just doesn't fit anywhere. And I'm not technically sufficiently good enough with anything to make it fit either. You know, so you end up cropping bits out of it and it just looks awful by the time you've finished.
I remember going back to when I first started in PR years ago and learning the word JPEG. Nobody knew what a JPEG was, you know, years and years ago. Mm. You know,
it's
and
just language
just
now.
All that. Yeah, everybody says JPEG now.
Have you seen what they've done now?
No.
Google have introduced a thing called WebP. Mm-hmm. Oh, which is it's a blooming nightmare.
WebP?
Yeah, it's a new format of picture that compresses the picture. And every time I try and steal something off the internet...
We're going to have words, Paul. Sorry.
Every time I try and take a picture off, it's a WebP format. And not one of the applications that I use accepts a WebP format. So now you've got to try and convert everything back to a JPEG, which is not easy.
You shouldn't be doing that anyway, Paul. It's still theft. Copyright theft. So we'll have words after the show, I think.
Because Graham knows there's been blood, sweat and tears to take those photos.
To be fair to me, I'm actually using... sign up to a graphics provider, and even their I'm tight-fisted, so I only use their free ones. But their free ones are still WebP now. It's not them, it's my computer tries to download them as WebPs. That's the problem. And then trying to convert them back to JPEGs is a blooming nightmare.
Yeah, but that helps the photographer to a certain extent, because, you know, copyrights do apply and all the rest of it.
Thinking about it, what you've got is product photographs, situational photographs, i.e. like you might take a picture of someone's office block or office environment. And then, of course, you've got headshots. And is that something you do as well?
Yeah, very much so. I think the business and brand side of what I do is my focus is about telling the story of the business. So it is very much that, showing the behind the scenes, showing the interaction here. It's about you showing your audience what to expect when we engage together. It's about telling the story, so it's very much story driven focus when I take those kinds of images. Yes, I do all the usual headshots, the corporate shots. I do headshots for actors and performing artists as well.
Action shots,
whatever it is that the client needs in terms of business or branding is very much the focus. So I do some product photography. I started during lockdown. I started doing 360 virtual tours because people couldn't come out to the venue, so we created virtual tours for people. So I do a bit
it's
of
a
that.
Great
as well.
Idea.
It's a lot, but it's under the umbrella of this is business focused, brand focused photography.
What about food photography? Because that's quite a different kettle of fish, isn't it?
It is, and it's not something that I particularly want to do. And I think that
I'd rather eat it, but
yes,
not
do very much so. But I know some great food photographers, and I have been asked to do that, and I've said, yeah, I could do it, but I think you're better off speaking to this guy, because
it's difficult with food, isn't it? Because like sometimes it's a great dish and it looks awful. You know, like scrambled eggs and things can look really...
It's like your breakfast casserole the other day.
Yes. You were very rude about that, I thought.
I wasn't. If she put up a photograph on Twitter of her breakfast, which is something she does quite often, and there were three dishes.
Yeah.
And the one on the right just didn't look like breakfast. The others were traditional, you know, sausage and egg and stuff. And this thing floating in a casserole dish. Oh, what's that? What was it?
It was a tomato base with chorizo and spinach and things. So I was saying to Paul, I used to live in Cairo when I was young, and we used to have a dish there for breakfast called shakshuka, which takes quite a long time to make. I make it at home sometimes, but it's, you know, labour of love. It's a bit like that. It was a spicy, tomato-y with eggs in.
Yeah, it had poached eggs floating in spinach and chorizo and tomato sauce.
Yeah, delicious.
It was a casserole. It was a casserole for breakfast, and that's all I said.
At least you didn't call it a hot pot, which would have been worse.
Anyway, coming back, I mean, one of the things that I still get amazed by, especially on LinkedIn, is how many people don't have a photograph of themselves on LinkedIn. You know, it's just got this outline of a grey blob, and he's saying, really? Yeah. But that's what's worse, and Linda will know this from her days of running dating sites, is the ones that have got photographs from 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the only decent photograph they got of themselves. So they put it up. And then when you meet them, you go, sorry, is your mum not here?
It's a very good point. And it's not just LinkedIn. There's a lot of listing sites or networking sites, and they're just using pictures from way back when.
Yeah.
There's statistics that prove that having your image is much better engagement and more likely to sort of connect with people.
Yeah, and I think what we do, I know I do it and I'm sure other people do it, is you get a half-decent photograph of yourself from somewhere way back when.
Yeah.
And that's the one you use for everything because it's the only half-decent one you got. And you go, well, I look all right in that. You can't see my double chin.
I remember
anymore.
I took, when I did my BBC show, I took a photographer in with me and I parked in Tunbridge Wells on the top floor in a gale and wind. And I'd had my hair blow dried because the photographer was coming. And and then I could, because it was Tunbridge Wells, it didn't, you know, Ringo didn't work. It was a different, you know how all the car parts in Canterbury got different methods. So I'm standing there in the howling rain and wind, I think it was November, and my hair. So I went into the studio and she just looked at me and said, Jules, your hair, darling. You know, and it was like...
Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah. So, and my mascara was down here. But we managed. We did it. A little mop with a tissue.
I'm forever suffering with that, getting my
with
hair...
your hair,
in a,
yeah.
Getting my hair in a mess before a photo
terribly
shoot.
Windswept.
Yeah,
I have the same problem, Paul, don't worry.
Yeah.
But we get to an age, Paul and I, where lighting is everything, Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, very much
everything.
So.
Mate, yeah. I look in a mirror sometimes. I think I look marvellous and I go and look in another mirror.
Luckily, she doesn't wear her glasses while she's doing that.
And I look hideous. It's like lighting. I mean, it's
lighting
just...
is super important because it's not. There's no such thing as a wrinkle. It's just a shadow, and it's having the right lighting to remove that shadow.
Yeah.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, little diffusers.
The thing for me is, it shocks me these days when I see myself.
I see you.
I don't think of myself as what I am now. I think of myself as someone I'm like about 30 years of age. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not.
I know. It's very strange getting old because you just don't really feel old, do you?
No, you don't.
And then you try and do a cartwheel or something and you creak.
Well, or walk.
But that's why people use younger photographs, because they all feel the same way as you.
Yeah,
well, exactly. You know, and you don't really think about it very much. I use that photograph because I like it. You know, kind of shows.
But I think it's subjective because I've had pictures taken, and some of my foodie, I do a food show called Scoff and Quaff, and some of them said, "Oh, Jules, you look like a witch in that." You know, and I really like the photo. So sometimes it's subjective, isn't it?
Oh, of course, it always is. Yeah,
always subjective, and very often. I was actually talking to someone about this the other day, but I think there was a statistic I read. It's like 77. And it's more women than men, but 77% of people actually hate their own photographs. More so than but it's not about you, it's about who is
who's saying
you're
it,
serving
yeah.
or you're yeah. you're seeing
it. Yeah.
I hate my photograph being taken, that's why I'm on this side of the camera. But it's also that it's you know, the way I think of it to get over that is to imagine that my face is actually just another social media platform that I transmit through and receive. It doesn't belong to me. So I kind of get over it a little bit.
I like that.
I used to do a lot of school photography with my PR job, and with kids it was great. But, you know, I'd take so many because there would always be one picking his nose or, you know, and that sort of stuff. And, of course, you've got to get parental permission.
See, I leave those in. I think they're the best ones.
Not for a brochure.
Right, we've got to join the Channel Radio newsroom. Graham, thank you for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. And we'll talk to you some more in the second part of the show. But give us a shout for your website just so that people can check out your work and find out more about you.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's just grahambakerphotography.com, and I'm on pretty much all the social media. It's very easy. Again, it's just Graham Baker GBP, and that's the same across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the lot, basically.
Fabulous. Thank you for the moment. Thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a minute, but seeing as we haven't read any tweets or anything, really, we're going to catch up on a couple just before we join them.
We've got
Michael Park Surveyors. It's my turn first.
Yeah,
you wait
go.
For it.
You go, darling.
Looking forward to a smashing Business Bunker show. She did write this an hour ago, of course. Go on, now you can go.
Oh, Swift First Aid Training. They're listening in. It's a great show as ever. You can find them on swiftfirstaidtraining.co.uk, and they provide expert first aid health and health and safety training in England.
FSB Insurance Services are 4 years old today. Huge congratulations and happy birthday to FSB Insurance Services, 4 years old. Did you know every FSB member can register with us for free and get access to some great tools like free credit checks, continuity plans, guides, as well as some great insurance and much more. If you want to find out more, call them on 0203 883 7976. That's 0203 883 7976, or follow them, FSB INS service on Le Twitter.
Yeah, we've had Tracy Ferguson is saying her youngest son brought her a wax melt called Old Bookshop for Christmas. It's divine. I don't know what a wax melt is. Called
it's a candle, isn't it?
Oh, okay. And it's in the shape of a bookshop, must be. Sort of, must be Victorian, mustn't it? Like Oliver Twisty.
A wax melt you put underneath the candle and then it melts it. So it melts it and it smells nice.
I need a picture. Tracy, send me a picture of a wax melt. So does that mean the scent is the old bookshop? So yes. It smells like old books?
Yeah.
Yes. Musty.
Musty paper. Yeah. Right, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk some more to Graham, but we're also going to talk to Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media.
Yeah, she's here now.
She's here now, yeah. And we'll be back shortly.
Let's find out what's happening.
Yeah.
In the real world.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.